Today on Real Radio.
How do we get from here to heaven? By doing the impossible. It's impossible in the flesh to come to Christ and say, I believe what the Bible says, what the prophet said, what happened. I believe what history said did happen. I believe that Jesus died in my place on the cross for my sins.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, if you ask different people that question, you're going to get a variety of answers. Usually, it includes some kind of what's called works righteousness. In other words, it involves man trying to reach God instead of the other way around. And this stems from a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel. The true believer comes to the understanding that shunning sin is the result of salvation, not the cause. But he knows this because it's revealed in Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
Where did you accept Christ? Was it at the beach? Was it at a Greg Laurie crusade? Or where was it for you? Wherever that moment took place, that moment in time, wherever that place was, that geographical moment. By the way, Joshua crossed over from Jordan, across the Jordan River, over to Gilgal, into the promised land, and he built an altar of 12 stones and repeatedly went back during the course of his life to visit that spot. Why that spot? Was it because the dirt was really good tasting in that spot? No. It's because that's where he encountered the Lord. And that made it holy. And what I love about the Lord, as you do as well, is that when the Lord is missing in our lives, we don't really know it exactly until there's an awakening taking place in our hearts and our lives. And then when that begins to happen and he meets us, the void is filled. The void that we tried to fill with things of this world. Oh, come on, you guys know this. And if you're young here tonight, listen to this. I understand that a person would just, maybe because of peer pressure, go ahead, hey, take a hit of this, or draw a line of this, or just drop this pill. Try this. Or it's such a total rush. Come with us, and we're going to do this thing. I understand your hunger for the rush. But do you understand something? That when the rush is over, you will be unfulfilled. I promise you. You will say, man, wasn't that great? And if you're honest, you'll say, for the moment. Doesn't the Bible say that sin is pleasurable for a moment? Oh, wasn't that something? Sure, it was something for a moment. And then what do? You do that a few times, and it's not enough. So then you have a powwow with your friends and figure out how can we make it more exciting? How can we do a little bit more of that drug or a little bit more of that sex or a little bit more of that issue or that thing? Did you know that people are medically treated who have graduated through thrill-seeking type things to where their adrenal gland is no longer functioning properly any longer? They have jumped off of bridges with bungee cords so many times that they can't get excited about anything anymore. And there's, listen, I'm not making it up. They walk around life so depressed until they go to the next thing. You say, what's wrong with jumping off of buildings with bungee cords? I guess nothing. If you're into that, but if you do it to meet a need, the need will only be met for a moment because there's a void in your life. That's why sexual perversion is what it is today. It goes from normal, the way God ordained it, beautiful, awesome, powerful, spiritual, and it begins to be tweaked, begins to be abused, begins to go goofy, strange, weird, twisted, violent, fatal, a great thing given by God, prostituted and destroyed by Satan, all because something's missing. And the world goes around trying to meet that void, and I want to tell you right now, I'm not preaching religion right now. I'm telling you the facts. You want to be high for the rest of your life? Meet Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now. Huey Lewis used to sing that song, "I Want a New Drug, One That Won't Make Me Sick." I remember when that song came out, driving down the 405 freeway, I would yell in my Volkswagen, "Huey, you need Jesus." Huey Lewis needed Jesus. Well, Huey Lewis needs Jesus. The place where you're sitting can become holy ground right where you're at tonight. The Bible says in Exodus 33:18, "And Moses said to the Lord, 'Please show me your glory.'" Isn't that awesome? Show me your glory. Why did Moses say that? I want to argue this because something was missing in Moses' life. Moses got a glimpse of what God can be like in his life, and Moses says to God, "God, show me your glory." What a great request. Don't you think that, I mean this in a good way, don't you think that flattered God? What an amazing thing. "God, show me your glory." I think the Lord wants us to tonight in our hearts say, "God, show me your glory." I'm praying a prayer. Lord, if you have to, unplug our TV sets. Blow them up. There is a electromagnetic pulse bomb threat in America. It could happen at any time we hear about. Oh, bring it on. Why? What happens if it? Well, you can't listen to anything electronic. Can't watch anything electronic. Everything electronic will fry. You know that would be a blessing from God Almighty. Can you imagine? What are you going to do? Read your Bible. Can you imagine? All that stuff was to go away. We'd say, "God, show us your glory," because right now we have so many things that tickle us. Oh, man, that's awesome. What was? That video game. And then we go to church. Oh, is church over yet? We are overstimulated people, man. But how long does that last? Moses said, "You know what? I don't want a gold-trimmed donkey, man. I don't want a ski boat on the Nile. God, show me your glory." That's what he wanted. Then the Lord said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And Buddy said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place." I love this. "Moses, I love your request, but dude, you're a human made out of dirt. And I'm not a human. I'm eternal. And let me see how I can accommodate your request." Oh, I got it. Watch what it says. This is my translation. I want you to follow along. This is Exodus 33, verse 21. The Lord says, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, and so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock." This is the cutest thing ever. God takes Moses and says, "Okay, here's the deal." He grabs Moses or tells him, points somehow, shows him, there's a crack in the rock right there. See that crack right there? Go hide in that crack. Can you imagine? Go in there, Moses. Can you imagine this finger going, tucking Moses' feet in? "Moses, I can still see your ear sticking out." And remember, it's all about God's face, his glory. The Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, his face will be white, whiter than the sun. His eyes will be a flame of fire, and his hair is white as snow. And the Bible says that when Christ returns, the heavens and the sun and the moon will flee from his presence when he returns. This is the God that says, "Moses, I'm going to put you in the rock." So God puts Moses in the rock. Puts his hand over Moses right there. Look at it. Puts his hand. "I'll put my hand and cover you with my hand while I pass by." Verse 23, "Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my backside." That is the word we say, afterglow. You will see where I have been, but my face you cannot see. Oh, man, this is my God we're talking about. So God puts him in there, puts his hand over there. Okay, Moses, here I come. Cover Moses' face with his hand. And God passes by. And then, whoa. And Moses looks and sees the afterglow of God passing through a material portion of atmosphere where God invaded for the moment. Just. And from that second, Moses' face was so affected physically from whatever that is, that his face was glowing. You know, people go into a sun booth thing and come out, and then I guess, you know, it gets hot or something, and they start to turn colors. Can you imagine? Moses comes down the mountain, and he has to cover his face because the glory is starting to fade as he leaves God's presence. Doesn't our glory, that is the glory of God upon our lives, fade when we leave his presence? Point, don't leave his presence. Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 9 knew something about that, didn't he? He was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Greatest conversion in the history of Christianity. His books are studied in law school. The book of Romans, one of the greatest treaties on an argument to become a Christian, the book of Romans you can ever read. A brilliant attorney, the Apostle Paul. He's en route to Damascus to arrest and kill Christians. And who does he meet? Jesus Christ appears to him. And Saul falls off his donkey and says, Lord, who are you? And Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Saul goes on to say, what do you want me to do? That's a good answer for us tonight. What would you have me to do? In Philippians 3, verse 7, mark it down, church. This is good stuff. Philippians 3, 7, Paul the Apostle, the man who once knew everything, met Jesus Christ and realized he knew nothing, and God rebuilt his life. Study Paul's life. Church, find out that when Paul got converted on that Damascus road, he went into the wilderness of Arabia, Galatians chapter 1 says, for years before he ever came out in public and preached Christ. For years, God rebuilt him. Have you accepted Christ in recent years? God's rebuilding you. Have you been a Christian a long time? How many of you have been Christians 30 years or more? Raise your hand. 30 years or more? Well, how old are you guys anyway? A bunch of oldies in here. Have you been a Christian 50 years or more? 50 years or what is this? You guys should all be up here. I should be sitting down there then. For the person who's been a Christian here the longest, did you understand that the Lord is still rebuilding them too?
Amen.
It's amazing. That's why we go through trials. Trials are not from Satan. Trials come from God. Why? That's how he rebuilds us. It's amazing. Philippians 3:7 says, Paul speaking, for what things were gained to me? These I've counted lost for Christ. Cool translation. Everything I acquired, it was nothing compared to meeting Jesus. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul lost everything. By the way, not that this matters, but when he says all things, the word actually means all things. He was a Pharisee. This is speculation by scholars. We don't know the answer. He could not have been a Pharisee, Paul, without being married. A, his wife died and he was widowed because we know from his other writings that he was single. Or he was married and his wife left him for becoming a Christian. We don't know the answer to that. But you couldn't be a Pharisee without being married. Paul was a Pharisee. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. Interesting. And I count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Church, listen, this has a lot to do with where we're going these next several weeks. to be found in him. Church, listen, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Oh my goodness, listen carefully. Remember I was talking about earlier how you never feel, now that you're a Christian, you got to live this perfect life to keep your Christianity or to be acceptable by God or to make your way into heaven? No, listen, it's by faith. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. Paul the Apostle, who outworked all of us combined for his religiosity, says it's all trash because you are declared righteous, forgiven, a Christian by your faith in Jesus. It's so simple a child can do it. It's so offensive an adult runs away from it. It strokes my flesh to be able to tell you, I prayed this long. I have done this religious act. You fill in the blank, maybe from even your own culture. Well, I've been to the Vatican. I've been to Mecca. I've been to Salt Lake City. I've been to, you name it, fill it in. So what? Are you saying that that's how you impress your God? By doing those things, then you have a little God. Think about it. My God is so big, I can't impress him. My God is so big, he didn't ask me to impress him. My God is so big, he reached down from heaven and saved me because he knew that I couldn't reach up and grab him. Think about it. Down deep in your heart, you know it's true. That by the works of the law, the Bible says, shall no flesh be justified in my sight, saith the Lord. How do we get from here to heaven? By doing the impossible. It's impossible in the flesh to come to Christ and say, I believe what the Bible says, what the prophet said, what happened. I believe what history said did happen. I believe that Jesus died in my place on the cross for my sins. I understand that I cannot better myself. Man, if you're in here tonight or if you're listening tonight and you think you can be good enough to impress God, you are so far from the kingdom of heaven. But if tonight you're saying, oh my goodness, God raises the standard. Paul says right here that my own righteousness that I had by the law, Paul would look at the Ten Commandments and either A, say that he kept seven of them, or he would look at the Ten Commandments and deceive himself into thinking he kept all of them. But my friend, if you understand the Ten Commandments, before you even come to read the first one all the way down to the tenth one, you wake up to the fact, I ain't kept none of them. Because Jesus comes along and says, yeah, you've heard that you shouldn't commit adultery? That's in the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, guess what? If you look at somebody and want them, you're already guilty of it. And there are people walking around in a religion saying, man, you know what? I want him, I want her, I want them. And if I just go confess it after I'm all done, I'm good. Do you realize how pathetic your God is? Do you realize that you'd be better off to go to Alaska and go to a totem pole? That God has the same vision that your God does. Nothing. Think about it. Doesn't it make sense to understand that your God's eternal? That he sees everything and you can't get to him from here without his provision? His provision's Jesus. The greatest issue of all of mankind. The biggest battleground in all the world, Jesus. And here we are as Christians. And I understand. The world thinks we're nuts. They think they're nuts. They were nuts, and they understand that. We are sinners, just like the world, though the world always thinks that we think we're better than them. Hey, world, we're not better than you. We're not better than you. You're probably better than us. But isn't it funny, world, that you fight against Jesus? You push against him. You mention his name, your jaw kind of sits. You hear his name. In fact, the only way you like to use his name is if you're going to cuss with his name. Isn't that funny? The brakes come on. Strange thing. And the Christian says, you know, you can come to know Jesus too. And the world says, oh, why, so I can join your church, join your little club. No, you can't join our little church. We just want you to meet Jesus. Oh, yeah, why, what for? So I become a freak like you? No. No, it's just that I'm going to heaven. It's going to be wonderful. I'd love to have you there. You don't have to go if you don't want to go, but I'd sure love to have you be there. And the world can't figure us out. You guys, the world out there thinks that we want them to come here to give money. They think that that we want them to come here for what? I do not know. They see people in the world that are religious, and they hear things like this from the religious people, not people who are going to heaven, but from religious people. Well, man, you know what? You're going to burn in hell, dude. You see posters, you see signs. I get this stuff email. I get this stuff in the media, in articles, where I'm either a homophobe or Islamophobe. And as I said on Fox News, I said, listen, we love you. We love the homosexual. We want them to come to Jesus. We want them to go to heaven with us. We want the Muslims to know that their Jesus is the wrong Jesus. Their Jesus never died on the cross. The real Jesus died on the cross for the Muslim too. I love them. I want to reach them. We're feeding and taking care of 600 children in Africa, Muslim kids. Why? Because we want them to know Jesus. They get food, they get Jesus. They get Jesus, they get food. Parents are happy about it. Why? Because we want them to be with us. No, not now. I mean, that's nice if they come now, but it's not necessary. It's then. It is then. When you and I leave this place here, and we meet up in heaven, there. There's enough of us in this room, there's more than enough of us in this room, that if we went out of this place and just began to love people like Jesus would love them, like Jesus does love them, through us, a storm would begin.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a topical lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, that's the title of this series we're bringing your way here on Real Radio, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, Pastor Jack has a weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. By the way, we also have a new smartphone app by the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the smartphone app. It makes all those things that we've talked about here on Real Radio accessible right there at your fingertips. Journey, that's another one of our television programs. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs live on hischannel.com. You can get our Real Radio podcasts and Pastor Jack's devotional called Words to the Wise. You can sign up for that right away and get it via your email box every morning. You know, a whole lot of folks that listen to Real Radio really enjoy Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's devotional. So if you'd like to get this devotional by Pastor Jack, as well as have access to all the above, visit the App Store on your smartphone and download the free Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. Actually, it does a lot more than what I just mentioned. I'm looking at it right now on my smartphone, and there's a lot going on. So just download the free app, thumb through it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more by visiting realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.